You know, talking about mission. Last Sunday, I got inspired from Mark chapter 5. And I studied a little bit, and then I came up with some things, I think, since we're talking about mission, to encourage you today in the word of the Lord. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We believe the Bible is the foundation for all we need to do. This is the foundation of your church. And God, as we open these, your words, I pray that the Holy Spirit would take these, your words, and reveal it to our hearts. Do the work that I'm not able to do. You reveal, give a deep revelation and convict our hearts on things that we must know. In the name of Jesus, I pray. God's people said, amen. So, open your Bible. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Let's switch some of these things. I'm going to bring my New Living Translation Bible up here. Mark chapter 5. Such a good story. And we're going to read it again. And the title of my message would be, Tell How Much the Lord Has Done for You. Have you been able to tell people how much the Lord has done for you? Or are you shy on Jesus? You know, Reverend John told us last week that one of his last points was be a big mouth for the Lord. Be a loud mouth. Are you shy about Jesus? What has the Lord done for you? There's a song that goes like this, right? Look what the Lord has done. Heal my body. Look what the Lord, oh, I'm so glad. Look what the Lord has done. Look. Can you look in your own life to see what the Lord has done? Amen. Can you look in your own life and see what the Lord has done? 1 Corinthians 17:5, what does it say? It says, if anyone is in Christ, that person becomes a new creation. Listen to this story. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tomb to meet him. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Everywhere he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was. He snapped them, the chains from the wrist, and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night, he wandered among the burial caves, pretty much the cemetery, howling and cutting himself with the sharp stones. Now, let's pause right there a little bit. I want you to envision someone like this. I don't know if you've ever seen somebody who was possessed with demon. I have. Someone who's... Can you imagine a person like that living in the cemetery? He lives in the cemetery. He cuts himself. And it says day and night, the guy's just like shouting. Ah! Just shouting. He's cutting himself. He's tormented. Bring, ding, 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 ding. 5, verse 5. Day and night, he was wandering among the cemetery, howling, cutting himself with a sharp stone. When Jesus was still some distance away, the men saw him. And I want you to pause right there. So the Spirit of the Lord in Jesus encountered from the distance the man that's possessed. The power that's in the presence of Jesus. The guy felt it from a distance. And then what happened? He came and bowed low before him with a shriek. He screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me. For Jesus had already said to the Spirit, I want you to see something here again. Somehow, Jesus noticed the tortured men, the tormented men, in spirit, from the distance, already made a declaration for that man to be delivered. I don't know, maybe Jesus said to the evil spirit, get out. Authority. Get out. Automatically, the possessed man jump out, kneel down, say, Lord, the evil spirit's talking. Please don't torture me. I pray as we read this, the presence of God in you would be able to set people free. The presence of God in you. And that's one of the reasons when we come together Sunday morning, we take time to just sit in His presence. Because when our spirit encounter the Spirit of God, things happen. When our spirit encountered the presence of God, we changed. And Jesus said, come out of the man, evil spirit. Then Jesus demanded, what is your name? And he replied, my name is Legion, because there are many of us inside of this man. There's a dangerous movement going out there. People are calling themselves them, us. We are many. My name is Legion. Why? Because we are many. People can be possessed with many demons. We're getting into a season where people are worshiping the dead. Be careful. Halloween is nothing any believer should take part of, because it is the worship of the dead. Now, I'm not talking about fall, celebrate the change of a season, celebration for summers being gone for some of us who didn't really like summer. And then you can celebrate. I'm not talking about celebrating the season of harvest, celebrating, you know, pumpkin soup, pumpkin pie. I'm not talking about those things. But I'm talking about for all of us who call ourselves children of God, children of the light, to be careful not to celebrate the dead. The worship of the dead is idolatry. The worship of the dead is idolatry. God despises it. Is there anybody here? Anybody here? Yeah. If you have any question, come see me. So, verse 11. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. And then the evil spirit, the demon says, well, send us into the pigs. The spirit begged, let us enter them. So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirit came out of the man and entered the pigs. I've heard a theory that says some people, that's why they don't eat pig. Please, come on. Innocent pigs right now has nothing to do with these demons, okay? Now, if you're not gonna eat pig, find a different reason. But Jesus, they're not possessed with demon, all right? They're not possessed. When you go to the restaurant, you order like a half rib. They're not possessed, okay? Unless they've been dedicated to the devil. No, but it's crazy. I don't know why people, sometimes our mind, people wants to confuse others. Our pigs nowadays has nothing to do with those pigs back in the days. Amen. Okay. Verse 14. The herdsmen fled into the nearby town and surrounding. You know, long story short, everybody come and saw. But then the good thing is, it's verse 15. It says, a crowd soon gathered around Jesus and they saw the man who was possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there fully clothed. This is what happened. Before we met Jesus, we were clothed in sin, covered in unrighteousness. When we come to Christ, we are not ashamed anymore. We've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Come on, guys. Now, God doesn't look at your sin. He doesn't look like your... He does not look at your past. You know, and sometimes the hardest thing for us to do is to let your past go. It's a lot easier sometimes for some people to let other people's past go than their own past. Let me remind you again today. Let your past go. Because God's not judging your past. If you have repented from your sins, the Lord is not looking down on you from your past. You've been clothed. You've been clothed in the righteousness of God. Not ashamed anymore. You don't have to come. You remember the story of the prodigal son? I mean, back in the days when a son come to their father, he said, "Father, I want you to give me my inheritance. I want you to give me what belongs to me." You know what that means? If a son or daughter goes to their parents and say that, they're literally saying, "I wish you would die already." That's what the son did to his father. He said, "I want what belongs to me. I want what you gonna. Why? I want what you have to give me." What did the father did? Do, give it to him. And the foolish son, what did he do? Went out there, spent it. Became so broke, homeless, broke, sick. But then he came to his senses and he said, "Man, at my father's house, the servants are better off. And here I am, being on the road, on the street, wandering, eating pig's food. I'm going to return repentance." The guy repented. But the good thing about the father, the whole time the son left, he was every day like this. Let me tell you this. Your father, our Father God, is constantly waiting for the time, for the day you will get it. God is so patient. Yeah, I think God is not like you and I because we don't have patience. If it would be us, man, it would be like, "Man, this son's dead. You know what? Screw him. He's done." But what he did broke Father's heart. And the Father was like this every day, looking down for the return of the Son. Until that day, he saw the Son. And what happened? I love the Bible. I love that story in Luke chapter 15. It says, when the Father saw the Son, he ran. And he ran to me, picked me in his arms, put a cloak. It says, "My servant, go find the best robe in the house. Clothed." That's what happened here. This man was possessed with the evil spirit, cutting himself. And right away, the people can witness something new. The man is clothed. And the crowd began to plead with Jesus, "Would you please leave?" See, Jesus is good. But if you don't take time to understand him, you'll kick him out. We want Jesus. We need, as a matter of fact, we need Jesus. But if we're not careful, Jesus, when he comes and take down the walls of our religion and tradition, we might kick him out. Because Jesus, you can't fit him in a box. Verse 18, and as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Come on, man. I would do the same thing. I would want to go with Jesus. I said, do not remember your past, but remember where Jesus took you. Remember where you come from. And then don't look back because that's not the direction you're going. So look forward. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus But I love this. It says, Jesus says, no. He did not permit him to go with him. He says, go home to your friends. Go home to your friends. No, go home to your family. Tell them everything the Lord has done. Oh, go home to your family. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you. Have you been quiet on the Lord? Can people see? I tell you, yesterday I had two things that really encourages me. Two things. And I said, wow, Lord, you know, sometimes you might be going through a season where you feel like, you know, you're a little discouraged. You're not fully discouraged, but, you know, you feel like, ah, man, this start not work, you know. Feedback, we're trying to fight this feedback thing. Ah, man, you know, you're trying to figure it out. And then I had this encouragement from someone. And then I'm not going to mention their name because my brothers, they watch. But it's one of my brothers. They watch our service here. And he said, you know, Ricardo, for all these years you've been in my life, I finally understand you. I could have cried. You know, and this is a guy, this is one of my brothers, I've helped forever. I'm the youngest. I love him. I've been there for him, but every time I try to help him, he burned me. But other times, I always want to get back at him and hate him and cut the tie. Now understand, fool me once, it's on me, right? It's on you. Is that what they say? Fool me twice, it's on me. But you can't apply that in the gospel. This is what I mean. You must love everybody. But you shouldn't trust anybody who hasn't proved themselves trustworthy. But then if I am in relationship with you and you're not trustworthy, I'm not going to cut the relationship, especially if we're family. I'm just going to be straightforward with you. I'm going to be like, well, you know what? I wish I could lend you $500. But if I know if I lend you, you won't pay back. So therefore, I can't help you. Or maybe here's $40. You see what I'm saying? But then now, finally, after all these years, because of the gospel, I have kept my love on. I have kept my forgiveness available to him. And at times, I felt like I couldn't do it. I felt like I want to close the door. I felt like I want to cut him off, be done with him. But you know what saved me? While he's talking to me yesterday, I'm like, wow, am I really hearing what I'm hearing? He says, I get it now. He says, I get that you are a wonderful person. And you've helped me a lot. I mean, it's like, I'm like, no. And then I said, brother, you know why I'm like this? Because he's my brother, but he doesn't know the Lord. He knew of the Lord. He's not in relationship with Jesus. I said, let me tell you, now let me give you a testimony. I said, thank you for acknowledging this. Thank you for saying this. But man, if it wasn't for Jesus, if it wasn't for me reading the Bible every day, all the time and finding out how to treat you, you and I wouldn't be friends. Have you been able to tell or to allow people to see the work the Lord is doing in your life? Because right there I realized if I didn't allow myself to die when I was hurt, I died to my own self, selfishness. I borrow money to help the guy, and when the business is not working, I said, well, we got to sell the business so I can at least pay the bank. And he's like, Well, then you call me in court. I mean, you know, in Haiti, there is no such a thing. Call him in court. Me and my brother go into court. That's like, man. And people are going to find out I call my brother in court. It's like, you know, I'm a leader in the community for what? For money. But then it's like, dude, I've been helping you. I went to the bank and borrowed the money to help you. So if it's not working, we should put, I mean, you should at least understand me. He didn't. I paid the debt. What would you do? Would you still talk to some that person? If Jesus doesn't step in, that person, you run away from them. You never talk to them anymore. But there is a problem. He's my brother. And he's not from another mother. He's not from another mother. We from the same mother. Oh my goodness. I tell my kids this all the time, and I'm going to encourage you with this. I choose my wife. God give us each other, but I choose her. I said I do. Every year we say we do. Okay. Okay. But then my father, my mother, I didn't choose them. God give them to me. See, my siblings, I didn't have a choice. My son, my daughters, I didn't have a choice. God give them to me. So therefore, I am forever devoted to love them. They might be like the terriblest people ever. And I think that's what happened in the church. We misunderstand. God created family first, not the church. So because people does not understand commitment, they divorce each other, of course. But then family started divorcing each other. Father divorced, disown, mother divorced, disown children. And then you've got brothers and sisters, they disown each other. That's the plan of the enemy. You know, the plan of the enemy is to kill, steal, destroy. To kill, steal, and destroy. At every level, it started from the foundation. Family. Family, the foundation. It destroyed the family unit. Wow. Are you still with me? Tell him how much the Lord has done for you. And that's why we believe in missionaries. Because God, when the Lord calls, you know, he calls someone to go overseas or anywhere else. You know, that takes a lot. I remember when we moved in from Haiti in 2004, I never had a dream to live in America. I love my life in Haiti. Back in the days, I love it, love what I was doing. I had a visitor visa to come over. And then in 2004, there was a big unrest. And then the U.S. government at that time required all the U.S. citizens to come over. And then my wife and my kids at that time, we had one or two, decided, well, let's just send them out. I couldn't go because I wasn't a U.S. citizen. I had a visa. So we waited a while. I waited a while in Haiti. You know, once things calmed down, I came over. In Florida, that's when I'm like, you know what? I'm sick and tired of this. I'm staying here. I'm just gonna work on getting my legal status and then maybe decided to go back to Haiti. 2004, I didn't know I had a call to ministry. Even though before that I had prophecy over my life that God has called me to ministry, but there was a time of preparation. I wasn't in the ministry. Moved to Florida. Mechanic, decided I'm going to be a plumber. I'm doing plumbing. I begin to like my life in America. I love doing plumbing. I love my life. I joined Restoration Church. I was part of the church. I love it. So the idea of going back to Haiti, automatically disappeared. It's like, what am I going for? I love my life here. 2007, I went back to Haiti for a ministry event, and then on my way back, I heard the voice of the Lord spoken in my heart saying, Ricardo, I want you to go back. That was the beginning of my calling. Oh, right away, I cast out that thought. I said, I command you, demon, get out of my mind. Get out, whatever is talking to me, get out. I commanded you in the mighty name of Jesus, get out. Oh, that wouldn't let me go. Long story short, 2010, after the earthquake, we went back to Haiti. Amen. God had to call me as missionary. It was amazing. The first 5 years was terrible. I was dreaming for this job. And then 5 years later, I got this job offer back in Florida. I went to Florida to explore it, to go back, go do the job. The Lord talked to me. He's like, what are you doing here? Once again, I went back. I'm like, okay, Lord, this is not your will for me. I'm going to go back. Impacting my nation. See, sometimes we forget that God called you where he's planting you. You know, as we think about mission this month, we're thinking about our missionaries. Thank God for them. And I said it earlier in the video, I'm a product of a missionary who went to Haiti. I didn't know if they didn't go, what would happen to me. Yes, I grew up in the church. But unfortunately, I didn't know God before I met those missionaries. God used their program, the ministry school. When I went to the ministry school for the first time, I started reading the Bible. Then I realized, man, I'm no believer. I grew up in the church. That's why us here at Restoration Church, we believe in missionaries. We stand behind them. We pray for them. But also, I am challenging us to be reminded that God has called us where we at to represent him. This is the question. Are you able to tell them? Or are you so intermingling into the affair of this world? Are you so tired working that you have no interest in people? Oh, may the Lord have grace. Are you so focused on yourself that you can't see, you can't have, you're always in a hurry. Even at the store, you never seize the opportunity. I'm challenging you. That's why God wants you to grow spiritually so you become spiritual mature Christians. You're not just baby Christians. You know, baby always want milk. Baby's always crying. Baby's always irritable. Baby's always in need. Babies always depend on others. God wants you to become mature Christian. What? So you can bathe yourself. Feed yourself. Not feeding yourself junk. Yeah. Because sometimes we mature Christian, but we don't know what to eat to keep us healthy. You still with me? So the most important, you know, the most important event that has ever happened since the creation of the world is the coming of Christ, God's Son. He came into the world as creator, ruler, sustainer of the universe. And I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6, it says, but we know that there is only one God, one Father who created everything, and then that we live for him. There's only one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom God made everything and through whom we have been given life. John chapter 1 verse 3. God created everything through Jesus, and nothing was created except through him. For Christ must reign, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 25. For Christ must reign until he humbled all of his enemies beneath his feet. So Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And he saved us. And I think Sandra said it earlier. Man, you know what? God saved you. And you're still here on earth to represent him. Are you representing God? Are you representing Jesus? Are you able to tell others? I tell you, this is a challenging question. This is not a condemning question. This is not a question, man, are you bad Christian? You're doing bad? No. It's just like, man, are you representing your Father? Are you able to tell them what he has done for you? You know, there's this big war about Jesus. I always ask myself, what has Jesus done to the world for them to hate him so much? Everybody's looking for love, but there's only one man that can love you unconditionally is Jesus, but they despise him. You know, this young athlete that just won the tennis tournament, I don't remember the name, but, you know, right, they were interviewing her. One of the first things she said, you know what, I want to thank Jesus, my Savior, my Lord. And the ESPN station, I mean, they make some of them making fun of it. Why do they want to banish the name of Jesus? But then when you talk about everything else, every other God that's not God, and everybody's like, yeah, 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 yeah. When you say Jesus, people call you stiff. People call you all name. And then, of course, we get intimidated. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. Dynamite. You are afraid to be the witness of Christ? You need the power of the Holy Spirit. Why are you so afraid to talk about Jesus? On your social media, you never talk about Jesus. You're afraid. You can't post a Bible verse because people will judge you. You don't want your friend to know you following Christ. Really? Are you able to tell him? Who would tell him if you don't? You know, we're talking about mission. I'm calling you to be a missionary at your home. I'm calling you to be a missionary in your work. You know, if you have whatever addiction you're dealing with, everybody in your work, they go out and take smoke break. Quit it. The only difference between you and them, you go to church, they don't go to church. You curse, they curse. They're mean, you mean. The only difference is you come to church. So then in their mind, they're thinking, well, what do you have to offer? You hang out with your friend group. What do you have to offer them? I love my neighbors. I love sometimes they come and hang out with me. You know, I've got this car, this little car project I'm working at the house, you know. In the past month, they come there, 4 or 5 of them come around. It's amazing. You know, they come. You know, the other day, something that happened. There's one, he's always cursing. I mean, dirty mouth. He started cursing. You know what one of them, he said? He's like, oh, excuse me. Yeah, I shouldn't talk like that in front of you. He's like, you're a preacher. I said, no, it's not just that. It's dirty talk. It's not just I'm a preacher, but there's a reverence. And I said, you know what? Thank you for not doing that. Our people, all your friends, all people you're surrounding, do they respect you because they see your act? They see you a son and daughter of the light? Or do they see you as one of them? Who would tell them if you don't? And what do they say? Preach the gospel every occasion. Use words when necessary. Use words when necessary. When necessary, tell them, you know what? I'm the way I am because I'm following Jesus. But let your action, let your word, let your action speak louder than your words. Take a stand! 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 What would it profit a man to gain the whole world's reputation? Everybody likes you. And then God is like so sad about you because you have no backbone spiritually. That's why I say here, we need the Holy Spirit. You 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 don't know how much you need the Holy Spirit? Let me tell you. Let's not take a bath till Wednesday. Let's not take a bath, no brushing teeth, no bath. Till Wednesday. Then you know by Tuesday morning how much you need the Holy Spirit. How much you need a bath. You know how much you need to brush your teeth. The person closest to you will tell you, go brush your teeth. That's how much you need the Holy Spirit. You know how much you need God? Fast for 24 hours. 20 hours. Say, you know, fasting is not when you lack food. It's when you have food, you choose, I'm just going to stay hungry, Lord. Every time I bet, I'm so hungry for you, Lord. Jesus, I really need you, Jesus. Oh, man. Man, it's like you never had cravings for French fries the day you decide to fast. 10 o'clock, McDonald's with French fries. But you never crave French fries. It's the discipline. It's the mindset of, I want Jesus. Sometimes you have to drag your body. You have to tell your body, you're going to do this. And when you feel like you can't do it, you find an accountability partner. That's why we promote home groups. We promote, don't try to do the gospel by yourself. You can't do the gospel by yourself. It takes a community to raise a family. It's the same thing in the church. Don't try to be so independent. You come once in every while, you know? Make sure you plugged in. Plugged in. Plugged in a home group. Plugged in a men's group. Plugged with a couple women. You know, go to lunch with somebody. Call somebody. Plugged in. Don't do by yourself. Can I have a witness? Oh. Thank you, Lord. Let's stop right here. Thank you, Father. Alyssa, come play for me. We're going to pray this song, I'm Lost Without You. I'm Lost Without You. Let's pray this song. Just the piano, I'll put it on the drive for you. I'm Lost Without You. Oh, Father, I invite you, just close your eyes right now. You know, sing, Lord, I'm lost without you. And this is the air I breathe. Let's just pray that. I invite you to just go in your heart, because I believe a sermon like this, encouragement like this, needs time for us to respond. Are you able to tell them? Are you able to tell them? To tell people. God is calling you to the level of, you know, being his missionary. This is the air I breathe. You find it? This is the air I breathe. Thank you, Jesus. This is the air. This is the air I breathe. Your holy living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Yes, Lord. This is my daily bread. Your very word. Your very spoken to me, I'm desperate for you. Come on, let this be your prayer right now. Again, and I'm desperate for.